Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have as your children to come together here at Woodbine and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that we'll always be students of your word, that we will always be steadfast to the gospel, to your holy word. And we pray, Father, that we'll be attentive each time as we study it, as we share it with one another. Pray that you'll be with us, Father, as we teach one another in these songs and hymns, and as we praise you, and be with us this morning in all that we do, that it might be acceptable in thy sight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. A little boy named Buddy was having a full day with his daddy. He was tired that evening, and so when day was done, he was ready for his prayers before he went to bed. And his daddy said the usual words that they prayed at night, and then he ended it with, "In Christ's name, amen." Then the little boy asked him a question. "Daddy, how high did we pray? Did God hear us? Daddy, how high did we pray? Did God hear us?" The voice of God from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." God asked that each one of us hear his Son. The word of God cries forth and begs to be studied, begs to be learned, begs to be followed. Jesus asked that I give heed to his words, not just be a reader, but a doer of the word. And yet, when I pray, when I speak to God, does he hear me? Does he answer? As a Christian, do I make the proper use of prayer in my life? Do I say I believe in prayer, but sometimes by the way that I approach God in prayer, or the way that I carry myself throughout the week, maybe I don't act like I believe in prayer? Perhaps we're sometimes like the individual depicted in a poem that was written by John Burton. This was his poem. "I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words that I say? I may as well kneel down and offer worship and worship gods of stone as to offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart, the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere." As we look at the Bible, as we look at God's Word, especially as we look in the New Testament, we see the life of Jesus depicted there and shown there for us, his life with his apostles, his life among the peoples of Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee, Samaria. We find that Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus prayed to God. He was here to do the will of God, and he often talked with God. After his baptism, Luke records in Luke 3:21 that Jesus at that point prayed to God. And then in chapter 6 of Luke, verses 12 and 13, Jesus was facing the naming of those 12, the choosing of those 12 who would be with him throughout his three and a half years ministry, and who would be left when he was gone to carry forth that which he began to do and to teach. And at the conclusion of the day before, it says he went out into the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus, in one of the messages that he would deliver to his apostles in those last few days of his life, he was thinking about their being together because they had time had asked questions that would suggest that perhaps they were not together, not united in what they were doing. And Jesus at that time prayed for their unity and the unity of those who would follow after them and believe their words. Neither pray I for these alone, Jesus said, but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. And how can we forget Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? After singing the hymn and leaving the Lord's table in that upper room, they went into the garden, his apostles with him. And speaking to his apostles, he said for them to set ye here while I go yonder and pray. Jesus went a little bit farther in and he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet nevertheless not as I will, but thou wilt be done. And it wasn't very long after that that Jesus is up on the cross. What will be his attitude to those who are yelling out, crucify him, to those who are mocking him, spitting on him, and asking for his life? When they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, Luke says. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's no wonder that earlier the disciples had approached Jesus and said, you know, John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. They had seen him in prayer. They knew he was a man of prayer. And they knew that he lived an exemplary life. Teach us to pray. They realized that part of that ability. See, he was the Son of God, but he also was the Son of Man. He could yield to temptation, but he didn't. And perhaps the apostles thought that ability had something to do with his prayer to God. In Luke chapter 4, or in Hebrews rather, quoting quite a bit from Luke, this is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The writer of the book, likely the Apostle Paul, but maybe one of the other writers, said, because of what Jesus had done for us and what he is for us, let us therefore come boldly. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Jesus was a man of prayer, and the apostles saw that. How high do we pray? Does God hear us today? Here's what two individuals said about prayer. Said the quickest way to get a church on its feet is to get it on its knees. Quickest way to get a church on its feet is to get it on its knees. And a man by the name of Dwight Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Let us look at God's Word this morning. Let us look at some of the conditions of acceptable prayer. I know we really have to read these verses and surrounding verses to really get all that we need to get from them, but I want to mention a number of verses and what these verses say about acceptable prayer, a prayer that God accepts, God, the type of prayer that God wants from His people. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, what we refer to as the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Holy be thy name. So when we talk to God, it needs to be a time of reverence. We should be totally focused. It's not something, well, let's get the prayer over so we can eat. Or let's get the prayer over so I can go to sleep. Reverently. We need to pray in faith. In Matthew 21 and 22, Jesus said, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." In James chapter 1, verse 6, the writer says, probably about more than just prayer, but he states that let him ask in faith. We talk with God. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. In Matthew 6, verse 15, just following the model prayer of Jesus there in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." To be forgiven, we need to forgive. So we need to be forgiving as we approach God in prayer. To have hatred in our heart towards someone, we need to take care of that. That just doesn't need to be there when we're talking to God. And I know sometimes, likely, that if it is there, we may not even talk to God. Maybe God won't know if I don't talk to Him. Maybe He won't know. We must be obedient. The writer John in 1 John, chapter 3, verse 22. Says, "And whatsoever you ask, you receive, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Remember, Jesus had said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments." And we live at a time where as human beings, and live in a country that we don't like folks tell us what to do. We don't like, kids don't like to do what their mamas and daddies tell them to do. And as a grandparent, you're in trouble. If you tell these kids sometimes what to do, they'll pout and whatever. I might have done the same thing when I was young too, but I can't remember back that far. But, you know, sometimes it's a tendency just to rebel. It's that way in all of life. A lot of us just don't like to be told what to do. In a later chapter there of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14, this is said about prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. This is a condition of acceptable prayer. Well, how do I know what His will is? Right here. We won't get it out of the tent stand today. We won't be able to get it. We'll have words concerning God's Word in the Gospel Advocate, but we need to get this totally from God's Word. Other men may supplement or complement and try to help us to understand it better. But we learn God's will from learning His Word. Jesus in that prayer didn't say, "God, let this cup pass from me. I can't take it. I'm human after all." "Let thy will be done." And He knew what God's will was. When the men came to take Him, He could call down angels. He could perform any type of miracle. Why, Peter had a sword there, and Peter said, "I'll protect you." Jesus didn't need a sword. He didn't need a sword. He knew the will of God, and He was going to do the will of God despite the fact that that it really wasn't something he looked forward to as a human, as human side. Pray in keeping with God's will. Pray in Jesus' name, John 4:13. And what does that mean? Is it just a tag that we place at the end of a prayer? Is it just something that, well, it means by the authority of Christ. It means because of who He is, we come to You in prayer, God. We have Jesus there at Your right hand. We have Thee, Jesus, there as our high priest, as our mediator, as our go-between, as our advocate. And we pray in His name, Father. It's backed up by what He is to us and what He's done for us. And God doesn't look at the sins that we've committed. We've repented. He looks at the sacrifice Jesus gave upon the cross for our sins. But you might say, well, I don't have time to pray like I should. You know, there are a lot of hindrances to prayer. There are a lot of hindrances to me getting back on an exercise program. I don't have time. I'm not disciplined enough is what it is. Why do I eat the food I eat when I know that the doctor says you need to be eating this? Of course, I want to do what I want to do. And I get told by enough people what to do, you know, in life. I can eat what I want to eat, but it's a lack of discipline. What hinders prayer? Lack of belief. Disbelief will hinder it, won't it? Jesus said, ask in prayer, believing. James says, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. If I'm disobedient. It's difficult, impossible to pray that God's will be done if I don't know God's will. And God is probably up there snickering. Thy will be done, God. But last time I studied your Bible was 19. We do those things that are pleasing in His sight, the Bible says. We attempt to obey His will. Worldliness. The world is too much with us, I read recently. The world is too much with us. And we're too much with the world sometimes. We get caught up in it ever so little by little. And pretty soon, we're consumed. We're taken over by the world, by worldly things. We look around us today and the things that we wouldn't have thought of happening at all back when we were kids. Or back when I was going to college, they're happening without a bat of an eyelash. We had a cleanup TV campaign, I think it was back in my 20s or so, with John Hurt and a group from up at Jolton pushing that. It helped for a while. And sometimes they'll get certain things off of TV, you know, a certain political angle or whatever, but a lot of the TV stuff, I hear different ones watching this and that and the other, it's garbage. Garbage in, garbage out, right? It's like the computers. The computer's no better than the one that's putting information into it. Worldliness. 1 Peter 3:12. God's Word says, for the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Jesus had said earlier, the Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God on one hand and have your foot out there in the world. And act like the world Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and come back in and seek to appease God on Sunday morning. It won't happen. It won't happen. An unforgiving spirit can stand in the way of our prayer. Unforgiving spirit. Jesus once told of a man who was forgiven. He'd been forgiven a great debt. This man turned right around. Somebody owed him just a smidgen, just a little. And the man threw him in jail. the man threw him in jail until he could repay everything, he said. We have to have a forgiven spirit. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lay not this sin to their charge, Stephen would say. James chapter 4, verse 3 said another facet, another problem or sometimes a hindrance us in prayer. Says James 4, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Do ask for the right things. He says, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. 1 John 5:14, John there reminds us that what we pray for needs to be in keeping with the will of God. If you ask anything according to His will, we mentioned that earlier. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Romans 8 and verse 22. Sometimes we have problems with understanding that. I guess we'll always have problems understanding the things of God. To some extent. There the writer says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, love the God and are called, or the called according to His promise. According to called to His purpose. Someone wrote this about, entitled, God's Strange Answers. He was a Christian and he prayed and he asked for strength to do greater things, but he was given infirmity that he might do better things. He asked for riches that he might be happy, but he was given poverty that he might be wise. He asked for power that he might have the praise of men. He was given weakness that he might feel the need of God. He had received nothing that he asked for. All that he hoped for, his prayers seemed unanswered. But he's most blessed. When should we pray? And we bow our heads when we have our opening prayer. It's followed by our usual scriptural two songs, then another song, and the preacher gets to do his thing. When should we pray? Paul said in one place, pray always. To the church of Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. A constant attitude of prayer. When we're driving down the road, don't have to close your eyes. Don't close your eyes if you're driving down the road. There are enough distractions. But we can pray to God. Keep us safe. Keep me safe from me and from him over there trying to pass, you know, or run over me. Pray with a constant, or should have a constant attitude of prayer. Jesus said in the model prayer there in Matthew 6, he said, thy will be done. We need to pray for those who are rulers. Powers that be are ordained of God. But I don't like who's president here. I don't like the fact that he's a prime minister over there or a dictator. No, I may not like it, but we need to pray for them. Pray that God's will be done some way, somehow, through their lives and through their decisions. When we're concerned about making a living, those of us who are retired are concerned whether we're going to have any of that Social Security that was promised, Medicare that was promised. They said, are we going to last as long as it does? Pray to God. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. In Matthew 7:11, it says, if ye then been evil, know how to do good, give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? In other words, God knows better than we do, and we gave good gifts to our kids. We knew what to give them. When we fall away from God, when we, as an erring child of God, when we are not as steadfast in our faith to God, we need to pray to God that He'll help us, that He'll strengthen us. We remember in the book of Acts chapter 8, there was a man who became a Christian. His name was Simon. He had been a sorcerer. He had done all kinds or faked all kinds of magic. But he saw when Peter and John came down from Jerusalem to Samaria that Peter and John were able to put their hands on somebody and those people could go out and do miracles. And Simon said, I want to do that. But what was his motive? His motive was he wanted to make money like he did before as a sorcerer. He saw power. And he was told by Peter, you need to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. And pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. When we're tempted, and we're all tempted, and we all sin, who can we call on for help? Jesus said, and we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13, 12 says, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. And then the next verse gives comfort because it tells us that God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation, he'll give a way of escape. When life's burdens seem heavy, too heavy to carry, when there's a need for rest, pray. I know everybody that I go visit when they're sick in the hospital or nursing home, I ask them if we could have prayer. I ain't had anybody refuse me yet. I ain't had anybody to say, well, you know, that's a bad idea. Don't come in here and waste my time. Nobody says that. When we're burdened, when we have those cares on us, we need to talk to God. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain these, the psalmist said, Psalm 55. And Peter would say in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all thy cares upon him, because he cares for you. I read this, thought it was humorous to an extent, but it has a good point. You know, a number of years ago, we had the cotton mills in the South. Quite a few of them. Probably don't have near as many because we don't have much cotton. And if it's made now, it's made in China or Taiwan or India or Mexico or whatever. But in this certain cotton factory, there was a card on the walls of a workroom that read like this. It said, If your threads get tangled, send for the foreman. Well, one day one of the workers got the threads tangled in the machine she's working on, and she just tried her hardest to get everything untangled. But after a while, she found out that was to no avail. She called for the foreman. He came and he looked and then he said, you've been doing this yourself? And she said, yes. Why didn't you send for me and as the instructions read? I did my best, he said. And this was his response. No, you did not. You didn't do your best. Remember that doing your best is sending for me. Sometimes doing our best is calling on God to help us. Someone said when you come to the end of your rope, tie a prayer knot on and hold on. Tie a prayer knot on the rope. Why should we pray? We need to keep on keeping on, don't we? We know that God cares. The Bible is full of those instances where God listens to prayer. We need to do prayer because we gain strength through prayer. We gain courage through prayer. And God has the ability to answer our prayers. Ephesians 3:20, as Paul thought about God, and he was coming to the close in that chapter, seems like he's coming to a close of his book, but he says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. We don't have a God that's disabled. Our God is not dead, as they had a theory a number of years ago. James 4:2 says, if you have not because you ask not. meaning you may have if you ask. Someone said that no human need lies beyond the reach of prayer, because nothing lies beyond the reach of God. I mean, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And when somebody teaches otherwise, we get up in arms. We need to keep that in mind in all that we do and everything that we say and every place we go. He answers. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not when He sends the word and tells us the fervent prayer is heard. I know it comes soon or late. Therefore, we need to watch and wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayers with Him alone, whose will is wiser than mine own. Written by Eliza M. Hickok. Prayer is part of our worship. We've been talking about worship on Sunday mornings for a while. We'll continue this for a few more weeks. I want to close this morning with these thoughts. Are we living as we pray? I knelt to pray when day was done and prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. Lift from every saddened heart the pain and let the sick be well again. When I woke another day and carelessly went upon my way the whole day long, I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I didn't try to share the load of any brother on the road. I didn't even go to see the sick man just next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed, into my ear there came a voice that whispered clear, pause, hypocrite. Before you pray, whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands which serve Him here below. Then I hid my face and cried, forgive me, God, for I have lied. Let me live another day and I'll live the way I pray. How high do we pray, Daddy? Did God hear our prayer, Daddy? This morning, if you hear, you're not a Christian. Why not come to Christ this day? Why not come confessing Jesus as the Son of God? Just as they did in the first century. Repenting of your sins, just as they did. Turning back, but turning away from sin. Then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins, as they did in the first century. And to walk in newness of life as a new creature in Christ. As a Christian, if you've sinned in a way that's brought reproach upon the church, or you need to have prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you desire to rededicate your life to Christ, whatever you need, would you come as we stand and sing?
If we rise, Jesus' name.